I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, freelance editor Nick Charles, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar. He's the editor of TheMuslimGuy.com and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. And Jimmy, if you don't mind, you normally kick things off, but if you don't mind, I just did want to briefly ask Arsalan, is it hard for you at a time like this with the conflict in Gaza, so much in the news? I just wondered what it was like for you.
Well, you know, I think for many people in the world, the unfortunate, tragic situation going on in Gaza between the Palestinians and the Israelis really is at the forefront of, you know, everybody's heart and minds this week. You know, we're entering into the, you know, the end of the second week of fighting. I wrote a column for CNN.com basically condemning both sides and calling for an immediate ceasefire. I think that the humanitarian toll of on civilians, both Israeli and Palestinians, cannot be underscored. The United Nations estimates that 25% of the people who have been killed thus far have been civilians. And now we're starting to see an Egypt-France initiative to try to broker a ceasefire. And much of the world is sort of resting its laurels, hoping that this France-Egypt initiative, you know, brings an end to the bloodshed in the region.
And before we move on to other things, I did want to ask you what kind of response you got to your column.
It's actually been resoundingly positive reaction in that, you know, people really appreciate the objectivity and the valuing of human life on both sides. And I think we've lost that culture of humanity in many parts of the world, especially in that region, where, you know, the moral equivocation starts to become, you know, one life is worth more than the other. And I'm saying, listen, black, white, brown, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, every human life is worth the same. And we need to end the bloodshed of innocent civilians everywhere.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I didn't want to take over the thing. Jimmy, if you would take it away. Thank you, Arsalan.
Thank you, Michelle, and thanks for that insight, bro. Yo, fellas, Merry New Year. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
Good, man. Good.
Good. Well, you know what, man? After a lot of waffling and stutter-stepping, it looks as if, you know, the Democrats are kind of coming around to the idea of supporting former Attorney General Roland Burris, you know, who was disgraced Rod. What's dude's name? I always mess his name up.
Blagojevich.
Dude's pick for Obama's, Barack Obama's empty Senate seat. And we got some tape on that. Is that right?
Yes, this is after Roland Burris made this very dramatic appearance on the Capitol. He went up there. He was surrounded by this scrum of reporters. It was pouring rain. It was just this crazy scene. And then after all that, he was turned away. And then he finally got to sit down with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. And here he's giving an interview where he's talking about you know, what he hopes to accomplish. Here it is.
I'm happy. My whole interest in this experience has been to be prepared, Roland, to represent my great state. And that is my love. That is my desire. And very shortly, I will have the opportunity to do that. As a junior senator from the fifth largest state in this great country of ours, isn't it great?
Oh, snap. That's a lot of swagger, man. Holy crap. Thanks so much for that, Michelle. Now, lest we forget, you know, Burris has served as comptroller of Illinois from 79 to 91 and AG from 91 to 95. But, dude, I don't know how he expects to govern effectively in this kind of far cloud. Yo, A-Train, my man.
What's up?
What's up with that?
You know, we have to remember Roland Burris is 71 years old, and this is sort of Custer's political last stand. I think that this is his sort of final opportunity to serve the people of Illinois. I think that his tenure will be tainted. I think that in 2010, we're going to see a whole plethora of Democrats in the primaries, Attorney General Lisa Madigan, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky. I don't really, and many people from Illinois don't really expect Burris to win the nomination in 2010. But
how do you even know he wants to run?
That's
right.
True.
And, you know, and why would it be necessarily tainted? I mean, his whole argument is that he didn't do anything wrong and that the people of the state deserve representation. And whether people like Blagojevich or not, he hasn't been convicted of a crime and he's still the governor.
Right. I mean, you know, but, you know, that's one of the reasons Congressman Danny K. Davis turned down the position was because of the fact that he knew that it was going to be tainted. And I think that many people aren't going to forget, you know, the political circumstances that surrounded his appointment.
Yeah, no doubt, Michelle. Yeah, I mean, you know, but, if a crook picks you to be down, I mean, what's up with that? You know,
an alleged crook who hasn't been charged
crook,
yet.
I'm sorry,
crook. This was a raw, Jimmy. This was a raw deal from the beginning for Roland Burris. This is somebody who was chosen by an individual who's empowered to make that choice. He got hit with some really insane and unfair questions from the press. People asked him, "Isn't this just about your ego? Hello, I want to be part of the U.S. Senate. You don't think there are egos in the U.S. Senate?
I'm sorry.
I fit right in. You know, I really do belong there.
No ego
Somebody
there.
Asked him, you know, would you commit to serving beyond, maybe say you're not going to serve beyond 2010, you're not going to run. Who else is being asked that? Who else is having to set that kind of condition? And the fact that Dick Durbin and Harry Reid go before the cameras, and Dick Durbin feels it really important to inform me that Jesse White, who's the Illinois Secretary of State, is in fact a black man, because Durbin wants me to know that's not just white folks who are holding up the process here, but also an African-American in Illinois. Clearly, Reid and Durbin were really vulnerable and susceptible to the charge of racism, at least the notion that they are running the most exclusive private club in America, the U.S. Senate. There are no African-Americans there as at present. What a coincidence.
Mm. Well, no, Charles.
I think whether he runs in 2010 is not matter. He has 2 years to serve the people of Illinois. He may do a great job and people may go, wow. And I'll be honest, he has more experience than some folks being mentioned for the New York senatorial position.
I guess, man.
Well, Jimmy, what do you mind? What do you think?
Do
you think he should be seated?
I think, no, man, I wouldn't take that seat at gunpoint. Because he's not going to be able to operate. How do you come? I mean, you're cease tainted, bro. I mean, how can you govern effectively?
I predict in 2 years, within the next 2 years, there'll be a vote in the Senate that they will need his vote to be a deciding vote, and you'll see how much love he gets.
Okay, I just have one more thing to say, but to borrow Arsalan's phrasing here, but don't you think that was gangster of him to roll up on the hill and just try to say, here's my papers, take them?
It was
He's
gangster.
Like the Dolomite of this joint, man. He's got a lot of swagger, man. He just walks up and just wham. He looks crazy.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, Ruben Navarrete, and Arsalan Iftikhar in the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. And more political news to make you go, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson opts out of Barack Obama's cabinet amidst a federal investigation. Now, you know, there are allegations. The feds are alleging that there may have been some contracts steered to some big name, big money contributors to Richardson's failed bid for president. Yo, I know the Latino community wasn't particularly happy with the second fiddle position, but I wonder how they're feeling right about now, Ruben.
Probably worse. Yeah, I mean, this is Ruben again. This is probably worse. I think that it is possible, given how this story is shaking out, that the people who are charged here, this is a California company that donated around $1.5 million to various political action committees that advocate for various causes close to Bill Richardson. They say they've been doing this for some time. They got in return from the state of New Mexico, while Richardson was still governor, a contract for They contributed, is it $150,000? Excuse me. They got a contract for $1.5 million. And this is all being looked at now. It's possible that this shakes out in a way where the governor and his staff are not culpable. It doesn't matter. In the era of Blagojevich, this was a non-starter. Richardson did the right thing by dropping out. This thing would have gone on beyond the confirmation hearings. I think that he or Obama, somebody dropped the ball here, clearly. Either he wasn't forthcoming
a little bit. Hold on.
Or Obama wasn't doing a good enough job betting them.
Check this out. What about the people that are saying, do you know what, maybe this was his opportunity to bow out gracefully of a position he wasn't too crazy about anyway? What do you think about that?
I think he wasn't too crazy about the position. but he always wanted Secretary of State. There were a couple of other things he had talked about. He was offered commerce. I wrote it in such a way for a column at CNN.com calling this chopped liver because somebody else had been offered this position and it turned it down. So it was leftovers. Having said all that, somebody, as I said before, he needs to put that stuff out there or it needs to be dug up. And I'm shocked that this sort of stuff happens, you know, with the inauguration being tomorrow, relatively.
Or maybe he's just bowing out so he can regroup and come hard in 2012. That's your boy. I'm that dude,
so.
And that's what I'm saying. Let's keep it in motion.
Wait, can I just say one more thing? I just cannot let Ruben. This Commerce Secretary is chopped liver. I'm sorry. This
is so
a
chopped.
Major auto, there is a major American industry on the ropes, which is the auto industry. And I just I will not be convinced that that is not an important job at a time like this, especially with a guy with that kind of international experience. Ruben and I, we're going to fight about this till the grave.
All right. Keep it in motion. CNN, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Now, there's a rumor around, and it's been substantiated in a few corners, that, you know what, dude is Obama's pick for Surgeon General.
Yeah.
Gupta himself has made no comment, but I believe there's some, we got some tape of what, you know, Gupta does.
Well,
at his best.
Yeah,
is that right?
And I just have to say that, well, you guys can talk about this, but the idea that this is not a serious guy because he's on television, I'm sorry, this is just so wrong. I mean,
it's redunculous, is what it
you
is.
Can make, well, anyway, here's Dr. Sanjay doing his thing. Here it is.
Hope you get your flu shots this season. Maybe you already did. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Tune in next week where we're finding out how to stop smoking for good. So many people ask us about that. Email us your questions, your struggles, your successes. Housecall@CNN.com. Remember, this is the place for the answers to all your medical questions. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah,
which is what the Surgeon General does.
Right.
Now, hello.
Now, wait a second. What, thank you, Michelle. And you know what also makes dude the man is that not only is he just got personality like that, but he's a working neurosurgeon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is how he makes his mail.
Right.
This is how he makes his mail. It's not like Dr. Phil.
Hey, Jimmy.
You know what I'm saying?
Jimmy.
Yo, A-Train, kick it.
Four words. Sanjay Gupta is gangster.
Oh,
word?
Listen.
Word?
Gentlemen, undergraduate and medical degrees from the University of Michigan, staff and faculty at Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta.
Right.
He's been embedded with the U.S. Navy Medical Unit in Iraq. He went to Pakistan after the South Asian earthquake. As former DNC chair Howard Dean said on Hardball a few nights ago, the job of the Surgeon General is to disseminate pertinent health policy issues to the American public and do so in a way that all Americans will understand. No one can do it better than Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
So that sounds like a co-signature from you, bro.
That's
right?
Double co-signature.
This is a guy, Arsalan's right. This is a guy,
go ahead, Ruben, go ahead.
Who, and few people can say this, this was a guy who, while on assignment in a war zone for CNN, was filing reports by day and doing surgeries by night. I mean,
wow.
This guy is real and the real deal. And I'm with Michelle, just because he's on television does not mean that that he's not qualified or he's an empty suit. I'll tell you what, though. He talks about getting people to quit smoking. I have a patient for him, and it's the president-elect, apparently.
Ouch.
Barack Obama want to quit smoking, has tried to quit smoking. I think this is selfish on his part. He wants Sanjay Gupta there to help him out. But the bad news, and here's how I'll end it. The bad news is, who lost out in all this deal? Obviously, Dr. Derek McDreamy. From Grey's Anatomy. That was your second choice right there.
Oh, see, that's wrong. Okay, this leads me to my point. I think, forgive me, that some of the criticism of Dr. Gupta is sexist. I think that good-looking men are sometimes subjected to the same kind of behavior as attractive women, is that people diminish their abilities because it's
that's
like,
been my
experience. You're really smart.
Exactly.
Ruben,
right.
You know about this, right?
I hear you.
Yeah,
I was say, you know what? She's 100% right.
Well,
that's my life.
Jimmy's right about it.
Okay, well, check this out. Keep it in motion. It's NFL playoff season.
Yep.
Who do we like? Now, you know me, I'm just happy that Cleveland got rid of Coach Romeo Crennel. And now we needed Harry Houdini, but we ended up getting Eric Mangini from the Jets. He stepped into C-Town to repair the broken Browns. But so they're not even, we can't even talk, really can't say playoff and Cleveland Browns in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. A-Train, who do we like?
Well, myself, I'm picking Baltimore.
Sorry, Cleveland.
Baltimore over Tennessee and Pittsburgh over San Diego, and Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game, picking Philadelphia over the Giants. Carolina over Arizona, and I'm picking an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl. And Pittsburgh over Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh Steelers win it all.
Oh, God. Stick to basketball.
Mr. Charles, Nick.
Stick to basketball.
I threw an empty water bottle at his head.
Thank you very much.
And I ducked.
You and Bush. Giants, baby. Giants, baby.
Giants.
I think, you know,
thank
Giants
you.
Have been laying in the cut. They had been, you know, there was some, you know, we had a little rough patch for a minute. But the Giants are going all the way in the NFC. In the AFC, the thing about Pittsburgh is, you know, unless Roethlisberger is on his game, they can look very ugly. When they're winning games 11-10, that's a baseball score. So, I was dumbfounded last week by how the Chargers won. If Darren Sproles, better known as, according to Jimmy Despero, can get through the offensive line and can stay away and not be detected by the defense because he's so damn small, I think the Chargers can do because they have a really potent offense, and that always says that they always have a great offense. It's the defense that is always suspect, and they played really good defense last week.
Ruben. From San Diego, I'll limit my comments to the Chargers matchup. I'll tell you right now, this team is a surprise. I've been late to come around and follow these guys. I mean, obviously an 8-8 season.
Mm-hmm.
The oddity of this whole season is that if they continue on this way, end up matched up against Baltimore, if they beat Pittsburgh, they could end up with a home field advantage, and that just doesn't really add up usually for a championship game for an 8-8 team. They play well in the postseason. They've got some great surprises at offense. Their defense is impressive too. Obviously, there was a real defensive battle with the Colts. I don't know. I think the Chargers are in good shape, and I think they're fun to watch. They deliver. It's entertaining.
No, Michelle, I didn't mean to skip you, Michelle. My fault. Who do you like?
I'm just so filled with rage right now.
Go ahead,
across
Michelle,
from Arsenal on the way he dogged my giant. I just can't collect myself. I'm sorry.
Okay,
well, you know that my husband is, a diehard Steelers fan. It's almost not necessary to even say that Steelers fan kind of by definition means diehard. So he'll be happy to hear about the
what's up, Billy?
About Arsenal Steelers pick, which I have to go with my Giants. Mm-hmm. Okay,
we're gonna end up with a Giants Steelers matchup, and then look out in the Martin House. Gonna get ugly.
That's true.
It's not gonna get ugly.
It'll be fun.
I should change the locks.
Ooh.
And with run, that, Billy. I think we're gonna have to call it a wrap, run, ladies
Billy,
and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming to the barbershop. I have to kick it over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV1 Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com, and he joined us from San Diego. Nick Charles is a freelance writer and editor. He joined us from our bureau in New York. And Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuide.com and a civil rights attorney. And he joined us from our bureau in Washington. Gentlemen, thank you and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Peace. Happy New Year. Thanks.
Yep.